He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Today in Voices, we meet an award-winning musician who's shared stages with Bob Dylan, Norah Jones and Taj Mahal. Kate Orchard spoke to him about the influence of his Yorkshire-Nigerian heritage and the disaster that brought him to New Zealand. I'm gonna lift up my head
now. It's a beautiful summer's day at the Island View Jazz and Blues Festival in Aporiki. The beach is bright, the water sparkling, and adding to nature's soundtrack of crashing waves, sea breeze, and birds is a musician strumming his guitar with fast fingers as his grey afro dances around and his blue eyes twinkle at the audience. Kia ora, I'm Kate Orgis, and this is RNZ Voices.
My name's Paul Ubana Jones. My middle name, Ubana, is from my father's Nigerian culture. It means happiness. And my mother was from Yorkshire. And myself and two other elder brothers were born and raised in London. And after extensive travels and various things, playing music, I finally moved to Switzerland, met a beautiful lady there, and we started a family, and we ended up in New Zealand in 87, extended our family even more, and we're still here.
Over that time, Paul Ubana Jones has released 9 albums, won 3 New Zealand Music Awards, performed in venues and at festivals all around the world. And at 67, there's no sign of Paul slowing down. But why, in the late 80s, would a London-born, Swiss-based touring musician and his wife, Corinne, want to move, with kids in tow, to the other side of the world?
For the kids, it seemed like they were going to get a better shot, a shot of freedom, a bit more room to move, you know, to be kids and not sort of holed up in some apartment block, be it in Zurich or be it in London, you know. And you know, the Russian nuclear reactor place had just gone off and we thought we want to get out of Europe.
Paul's referring to the 1986 Chernobyl disaster, one of the worst nuclear power plant accidents in history.
The Soviet Union has admitted that an accident has taken place at a nuclear power station north of Kiev, and there were some casualties.
That means radiation could spread through the water as well as the air in an accident.
It's rare for the Soviets to publicly admit to a disaster, but this was apparently so major that they had little option.
Paul and his wife Corinne moved to Sydney, but they had a terrible time and went back to Europe.
I got a job cleaning toilets and doing gigs, and Corinne started teaching maths and science, which is what she studied, and we thought we'd go to another part of Australia.
While researching their return to Australia, Paul saw that for an additional €90, they could go to New Zealand for 6 weeks.
So we ended up in Auckland, rented a camper van with 2 young kids, loved it, all the people we met. I picked up gigs that gave us cash along the way to put fuel in the tank. And just noticed something about the people that were, compared to our Australian ordeal and experience, they were just more embracing. Australia wasn't like that for me. It was, and then, what are you, mate? Are you an Abbo or what? I got that kind of Australian and I got others, you know. So after all that, I thought, there's still a lack of respect here for, you know, non-white culture. So putting two and two together, I thought, New Zealand's just not like that.
The family managed to get their residency relatively easily. This was the late 80s. And as part of that, Paul went door knocking to drum up gigs. And the rest, as they say, is touring history. I asked what he thinks about New Zealand's music industry.
I'm not really involved in it. I get overlooked. I know what the game is, and it doesn't bother me anymore. If there were New Zealand players that do the genres that I do in the way that I do, I think they'd be held as gods here. But I'm still the guy that came from another country, although I've got a New Zealand passport.
Paul reckons Kiwis put up with a lot compared to the English.
I am who I am. If I feel something sucks, I generally say it. And that is what is slightly amiss in New Zealand. People don't stand up. They tolerate bad service, bad acumen about rewarding low-income wage earners, and I find that hard to stomach.
And what about New Zealand audiences?
Yeah, you make them laugh, a few jokes, and then you whack them with a serious piece of music or song, you know, and they love it. I get comments like, you know, me and my wife came out to see you tonight because we've heard of him, but we never knew what the hell you were doing. When I saw you here, I thought, oh, Jesus, what's this going to be about? And I tell you, mate, I've never heard anyone twang that guitar like you before. So you get things like that, and then you get... I say, the sort of semi-Brit New Zealand, I'm really shocked and surprised. You make it sound like three instruments. What the hell is going on? And you don't use any effects. So there's a lot of commentary. There's tons of them. I mean, I've been touring a long time. You get some real funny ones.
Paul's music is his passion, his spirit, but so's his family. He tributes this success to Swedish wife of 35 years, Corinne.
If my family had fallen apart, I think my music would have. She keeps all the biz together, you know, and gives me a slap round the back of the head with receipts, because we're self-employed, you know, GST registered, and that just inundated with all the rubbish that befalls people that are self-employed, you know. So she keeps all that together and has kept the four kids together when they were younger. What can I say? I'm jealous, mate. All I do is get up and play the guitar.
I asked Paul what he does when he's not playing the guitar.
It's usually to do with the house or the garden or reading. I think that's an integral part of who I am, you know. And I impart this to young kids, to read literature and all that stuff. I like it. Although I'm working class, half black, London, I think what saved me is my mum passing on. She used to read a lot. My dad couldn't read. He was illiterate. So it was quite a bizarre juxtaposition within the family group that one was working-class Yorkshire and would read everything, and the other one couldn't read because of language barriers and all this stuff. So it's quite an interesting background, you know, in that respect.
Paul's parents were a huge influence on him.
My parents were really strong because, you know, my mother was white and she met a black guy before the Second World War. So that wasn't cool. And they suffered the slings and rockets from British racism. And her family disowned her. So we never knew who her family were when we were growing up. My dad was a kind of travelling guy. He wanderlust he had. And he ended up in the British Merchant Navy during the course of the Second World War.
His folks met at a dance in Liverpool. There was no Tinder in those days.
I think you're a really nice lady.
Oh, don't be stupid. What's your name?
My name is Rubana.
What? Don't you swear at me like that.
So it must have been quite strange for both of them, you know. My mum did say, you know, he was a real good dancer, and I guess that was an attractive factor in, you know, in the early days. And she said after the Second World War, he was torpedoed twice during the course of the war and in the sea for a long time. She said he wasn't quite the same. A lot aspects of him had changed, but they stayed together and they'd had us, you know. So that was good.
Growing up in 1950s London was literally worlds apart from New Zealand.
We had nothing. We used to play in buildings that had been bombed and there was still unexploded ordnance. So there were still signs up when I was five. So in 57, a lot of it hadn't been cleared. There were still places to clear, to hang out in these bombed-out buildings and all mad stuff like that, and then pull the barrows at the markets to earn some extra money. And I was rushed to hospital late at night and had the last rites because it looked like I wasn't going to make it to the next morning.
Luckily, he did, but spent a year in hospital before he could return home. At 10 years old, in a London music shop, Paul held his first guitar and was hooked.
Yeah, it felt real. It felt like, I really want this, you know, that kind of thing.
Even at that young age, Paul got a job as a weekend caddy.
So if I did two games each day, Saturday and Sunday, four games, I'd have about £2, and then Monday my mum would take that to the guitar shop and put it on the guitar until I could take it home in a big box.
It was classical music that drew Paul to study music at tertiary level, but throughout his life he's been exposed to a wide range of music.
You know, I do love the blues and jazz, soul, R&B, and English folk, the folk music that's influenced me in the UK. And I do like African music and flamenco and gypsy music.
You've lived a very full life.
I have. Hence why I really enjoy doing workshops, conducting workshops in high schools or schools for kids to try and, you know, switch them on to reading diverse poetry and books and writers and listening from classical right through to all different genres.
Following the birth of their third child in Gisborne, a decision was made to move south. The kids are now adults, but Paul and Corrine still live in Southbridge, just out of Christchurch, population 720. It's been 32 years since Paul and his whānau moved to Aotearoa. He continues to tour and is working on a new album. But out of all of the adventures he's had and the people he's met through his music, his biggest life highlights may surprise you.
Having four great kids and a wife that's very understanding and being able to play my music and survive from it, you know. So that's a huge highlight.
The story was produced by Kate Orgis and the engineer was Jeremy Veal. Subscribe to every episode of Voices at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Radio Public, or at rnz.co.nz/series. And while you're there, please rate us. That way more people get to hear these stories. And if there's a story you'd like for us to cover, send us an email to voices@rnz.co.nz. There are other RNZ podcasts you can hear too, like Bang, a podcast about sexuality and relationships, and Two Cents Worth, if business is your thing. Whatever you're into, there'll be something of interest. Do check us out. I'm Sarah Vuitalatu, and thanks for listening. Ka kite anō.